As those of you who were here last week noticed, perhaps, we didn't get very far in our reading
of the gospel. The prologue, we made it through 5 verses, which was, I thought, pretty good, but a few of you did ask if we might try for 6 or 7 this evening, if possible. Fortunately, it's not so much about getting far, but rather about getting deep, which is what we will try to do. And because this mini-series is supposed to be an exploration of a few of the encounters of Jesus in the Gospel of John, this evening it is my intention, at least my intention, to move on to the first of the encounters that I wish to explore with you. Before doing so, however, I would like to uncover just a few more things, if I may, in the prologue, one of which will serve as a nice springboard to the first of the encounters. So I think most of you have a Bible. If you do not, you can get really cozy with your neighbor and share. So last week, as I said, we read the first 5 verses of John's Gospel. The first 18 verses are considered the prologue. Before any of the stories, per se, begin. And in the prologue, interestingly, something that is not, I think, often underscored, or we may not notice as we read, John reveals to us 3 covenants that God establishes. You may be surprised. 3 covenants that God establishes with humanity. We may not realize this. Now, somebody asked me on Sunday where I get these interpretations. Out of which hat have I been pulling these interpretations? Well, it's important to underscore that as we read the scriptures, first of all, we inherit an amazing patrimony. We're never starting from scratch, in other words, as we read the scriptures. We dialogue with the saints, and we dialogue with the great minds of the church. And so when I try to read a passage from scripture, such as the prologue or any other, I confront the text, welcome the text as it is, as intelligently and as lovingly as possible, and then I make an appointment with one of those minds and cry for help. And one of the minds that I particularly like to consult, well, many of you have heard I do like Thomas Aquinas, but the one who led me to Thomas Aquinas, a French Dominican priest who died in 2006 and under whom I had the privilege of studying, his name is Father Marie-Dominique Philippe. You may not be familiar with him, hopefully someday you will. And in my opinion, he is really nothing short of amazing. And I take his intuitions and try the best I can to run with them. So that's one of the big hats out of which I try to pull. So, the prologue of John's Gospel. We read, as I said, the first 5 verses, but I would like just to highlight these 3 covenants, it seems to me, that John reveals, which would oblige us to move to verse 9. Excuse me. The latest of my accessories as of last week. It's very humbling. It really helps. In verse 9 of that chapter 1 of John's Gospel, we read, "The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world." The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. An amazing, I think, seemingly overlooked verse. What is revealed to us, I think, is the first of 3 covenants that we find right here and all contained in the prologue. The true light enlightens everyone. Now, what is a covenant? Recall, a covenant is can be defined in different ways. I think we can define it as a special point of contact, a special place of bonding between God and those with whom he establishes the covenant. The true light enlightens everyone, John tells us. So beyond the simple rapport of creator and creation, every human mind, so every person on the face of this earth, in their mind, has been touched by the second person of the Trinity in a particular way. Did you ever think of that? And it's right there. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. Every human mind is thus made for God, its source. And the human mind will not rest until it rests in God. We often think our hearts do not rest, which is absolutely true. Our hearts are restless until they rest in God. I'm paraphrasing St. Augustine. The same is true for the human mind, interestingly. It's not just our hearts that are made for God, and then our minds we just sort of use to keep busy until our hearts finally rest in God. Our minds are made to rest in God. The human mind has an appetite for God and will only rest in what we call the beatific vision, when we see God and are totally and perfectly and completely illuminated by God. Then our mind will breathe that sigh of relief. So, consequently, our minds are sacred. Our minds are sacred. They're made for God, which is important to recall. And tell yourself that when, I don't know, when you're getting a headache reading the instructions on how to assemble the new remote control blender and it's not working. Just tell yourself, well, be still, dear mind. Know that you are destined for so much more than these instructions. You're made for God, and someday you will rest. In verse 11, I'm going to skip a little bit here just to highlight these three covenants. In verse 11, we read, he came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. He came to those who were his own, but his own people did not accept him. A second covenant. So the first covenant between, and what is being underscored, of course, is the second person of the Trinity, but it's, of course, the whole Trinity always. They're always together. Between the Logos and every human mind, and the Logos and the chosen people. So, a covenant with a people through the law. A people chosen. Covenant number two. In verse 14, we read, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us and dwelt among us. Covenant number three, the most intimate covenant. The third covenant is in Christ, in the second person of the Trinity, become human and therefore much more explicit, much more intimate. So three covenants revealed here in a matter of 14 verses. Not bad. Thank you, John. The first is verse 9. The second is verse 11. Verse 9, between the second person of the Trinity and every human mind. Verse 11, between the second person of the Trinity, God, and the chosen people. And verse 14, God and every human being, more explicitly, more intimately, in the Word, become flesh. Become flesh means come closer, obviously, which means a new covenant, which is our covenant, by the way. We are the people of the new covenant, the covenant made in God become human. So God embracing us more deeply and more intimately than ever.